Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well. How did it get to be Saturday again? How did it do that? These weeks, they fly by, and it got to be summer again. Thank God for that. We need this heat. We need it. We need a few months of just baking in this humid, sticky, luscious weather with intense sunshine bearing down on us, that feeling of being roasted in the oven. Because that has to last us all the way through those long, miserable... All right, they haven't all been miserable. Last couple have been pretty easy, but still. So, producer Mike is here. I don't know if he'll talk today. Last week, he wouldn't say a word. Mike, you ready to talk this week?
I'll talk a little bit.
Just a little bit. Mike's a very generous man. He really is. We've got some rant line stuff for you. The rant line has, well, I mentioned it last week right here in this time slot for the first time. And that got us launched. And I was kind of amazed how many people responded right away. I got, like, just from mentioning it here on Saturday, I got maybe 25 responses. And that was cool because I thought I was going to have to sell it to you guys over time. Anyway, good stuff on it. Listen to this. Wait a sec, it's not working. It's my fault when it doesn't work, by the way. It's never the computer's fault. It's always because I forgot to do something. And then I fix it, and...
My name's Lenny now. I'm from Wallingford, Connecticut. And I'm just want to rant about the state campgrounds not being open. Me and my wife love camping. We reserve sites like 11 months in advance down there, and they're closed. And I don't understand. The beach is open, but the campground is closed. And the beach is very spacious down there. Their campground is even bigger, so you could keep your distance. But they don't want the campgrounds open for some reason. And I'm just wondering why.
Well, here's the reason. They don't want anything open that they can keep closed. That's the idea. So the idea of the reopening process is to not reopen, if possible, to delay everything as long as they can. For example, you heard the clip of the governor in the news just now. The governor said restaurants have to wait till June 20th, he reiterated, for indoor dining. Now, what could possibly be the reason? If you're already dining outdoor, there's no substantial difference between, say, what could Ned say? If I said to him, Ned, let's do 20% of the indoor seating available as long as people are sitting 10 feet apart from the next table. What could his objection be? What would the rational objection be that's any different than sitting outside? Mike, can you think of anything? I don't know what it would be.
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, like, what could go wrong is, like, if it starts raining or something, that would be a problem. But
then people run in, you mean?
Yeah, I don't think that's what you were looking for. But
no.
I was also thinking,
no, go ahead.
Like, you're kind of saying, what's the difference between eating outdoors now and eating indoors on June 20th? And, mm-hmm. I mean, it's along the same line, but I would say, what's the difference between just doing either of those things today?
Are the same as what you're saying?
Versus the 20th. Like what's... You're saying what's going to change between
outdoor and indoor.
Yeah, and
you're saying, why does it help to do it now?
Well, I'm just saying, like, what's going to change in 20 days? Like, what's going to be different on June 20th that's not happening on May 30th? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is.
I don't think there is
an
answer.
But I do know that I do know that people need to get their businesses open so they can start making money again, and the businesses aren't going to fill right up in most cases. It'll be a process.
Well, yeah, Ned's,
as Ned has told us.
Yeah, he's told us this. But then he refuses to open the business, as I don't understand.
He tells us people can decide on their own because they're not going to go back to restaurants. Well, okay, Ned, no problem. Release the padlock. Let people in.
Does he not understand what he's saying when he says that? Or why does he say things like that? Do you know?
I think he's a maestro of confusion. Of creating confusion, and I think that's his natural condition. He speaks in lack of clarity.
Is it? Yeah, but
it works really well as governor.
Is it purposeful?
And in this situation,
or is it? Okay, I wasn't sure if that's just like he doesn't even realize that he's so confusing. He just confuses himself. I don't know.
I think it's his natural. Yeah, he does. He's got a really scared look on his face, and I think it's appropriate for him to be scared because he's out of his depth by a long shot. But what I want to throw this out to everybody. I'd like to hear your answer right now. 860-522-9842. How is this process advantaged by further delay when you can look at it and say there's no logical reason for this? And if there is, he hasn't presented it to us. And if he doesn't present it to us, why should we buy into anything? It's time for the economy as much as possible to reopen as quickly as possible. And he's got to answer, in my mind, why he has a different agenda. That's not his agenda for some reason. His agenda is delay opening as long as possible, play games with people, play mind games on people through innocuous statements, amorphous statements like we were just talking about, and by creating utter confusion by doing things like deliberately. He did that deliberately to freak everybody out over the hair salons. And now the hair salons are opening. What difference does it make? Now, Monday, or 10 days ago, 12 days ago? What's the difference? I'm lost on that. John's in Windsor Locks. Hi, John.
Hello, Todd. I am a septuagenarian with, quote, comorbidities. So therefore, I'm scared out of my wits because every 42 seconds, someone in the media is telling me I may die. But nonetheless,
okay.
I just listened to a podcast from a Dr. Scott Atlas, and he is a senior member of the Hoover Institute and a professor of immunology at Stanford University. And he said that his calculations show that more people are going to die from the restrictions placed on the population than what would happen if there were no restrictions with COVID-19.
Can you share any of what the factors were? How the economy being in a desperate condition is going to create more death?
Well, what he said was basically that 60% of people that had chemotherapy treatment scheduled canceled that treatment. 45% of people that had serious stroke symptoms did not go to the emergency room and succumb to not treating their stroke conditions early enough.
So that's pretty compelling. Wait a sec. Hang on a sec, John. That's so terrific. Those two things you can extrapolate quickly and say that'd be 100,000 people pretty easily right there.
Well,
keep going, though.
650,000 people in the U.S. alone are on chemotherapy, and the large percentage of those did not go for their treatment, meaning that it's going to correlate to an increased death rate. He went on to say that the restrictions being placed on students in school are ridiculous in that the one article that these restrictions are based on came from a German publication that is about to retract what they originally said because it is shown that children have a very small chance of even contracting COVID-19 And secondly, a smaller percentage of them, if they were even exposed to it, would pass it on to adults. So all of
all right, so let me ask you something. You sure. said you've got you're high risk for this virus. How do you figure public policy should accommodate your needs? Should the whole society be shut down, or should it be targeted? Should you be told to keep yourself safe by staying indoors?
I should be told. I should have the intellectual capability of saying, I'm not going to go into a crowded situation. I'm not going to go out without a mask. But this is the only pandemic in history where people who did not have the disease were quarantined. Mm-hmm. In all other pandemics,
yeah, so.
Those that had the disease were quarantined and people stayed away from them. We're doing the opposite.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. What's the name of this podcast? I'd like to listen to it.
It was a Dr. Scott Atlas.
Yes, but what was the name? Do you know what podcast he was on?
I'm sorry. It was from New York University Langone Medical College. I believe
okay.
it was NYU Medical.
I'll find it. I want to check that out. It sounds good. John, thank you for bringing it to our attention. 860-522-9842. That's really cool. It's Saturday. Producer Mike is here. We're playing some rant line calls. We've got some new ones. Here's another one.
So how do you like King Ned allowing us to have 10 people inside of our home now and 25 people outside of our home? Can you believe the nerve of that little weasel today? I'm just floored that that's how it's being reported, and it's on Twitter and on Instagram. He's allowing that to happen. Well, I've been doing it all along because I'm not keeping my family away, and you can't tell me what I'm doing on my own personal property.
Yeah.
So thanks for letting me rant. Have a great afternoon. Can't wait to listen to the show.
Well, that's the idea. Get it off your chest. How do you think about government and what government is doing? How do you think you should respond? There is a very clear statement about it. Your reaction, please. 860-522-9842. We'll take a little break. We'll continue the conversation on WTIC. Wowza, yowza, the House of the Rising Sun. You remember this? That's a good song. 860-522-9842. Producer Mike is with me. Phone lines are open. Rant line. We've got a bunch of calls we're going to go through. Mark calling from Windsor. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I'm getting frustrated with society right now. I can't believe how easily so many people are bamboozled. And you give up your how you function in your home, letting this governor and other governors dictate how many people you'll have in your own home. That has
Mark, isn't it amazing? Isn't it unbelievable how people are convinced by this dog and pony show?
It bothers me to the highest level. And then the mask. This mask it creates bad optics, and it does nothing. It absolutely does nothing to protect people from this flu. If you're going to get it, you're going to get it. You're not. Most people, and you'll live through it. This hysteria is going way over the top, and I think that if a lot of us reflect back to how the government also tried to convince a lot of people that a president colluded with Russia to... And now we're finding out that it was all made up. I mean, it's been out there for the longest. But that's getting a little traction. But the point of that is, here's another hoax that's being pushed on the people to make you think.
Well, do you think that, are you saying the whole virus? Are you saying the whole virus is a hoax?
No.
Okay, but you're saying like masks and.
Yes. Like you can't walk outside and have fresh air. Like there's no reason to be standing outside on the sidewalk with a mask on. That's the fresh air is the best thing for you. Or being at the beach in the salt water and sitting on the sand is probably one of the most refreshing things for your mental health and your physical health, I would argue.
Yeah. Well, so I think that's right. Thank you, Mark, for that. Good call. 860-522-9842. Because We should not be cowering. We should view the government with the cynicism that Mark is suggesting. The government has its own agenda, its own purposes, and those purposes don't include us, in my opinion. And this whole thing about the progression, the time frames, the month to month, is a total scam that will be adjusted. This is all carefully planned by consultants and the like BCG and by the initial plan that the government has had in the vault since the Bush administration for dealing with an outbreak like this. And they implemented something that's meant for a real severe danger. This turned out to be a moderate one. It's not highly. Somebody said to me the other day, it's highly contagious. And I don't think it's highly contagious because I've been to the store probably 40 or 50 times, to the grocery store, to the farm stand, maybe 60 in the last couple of months. We'll throw in the chiropractor. I go to the chiropractor once a week. I go to the grocery store. I go to Walmart for certain things. I have two or three farm stands I go to. I have a smaller local grocery store. I have a little local place I'll just walk over and buy a couple apples or something. Why have I not been part of some big outbreak? If I'm going to the supermarket and shopping, how is it possible that every day that's what you, it's busy there? I've been to Home Depot a few times. Busy. How is it possible? I've seen this map on TV. I'm on the internet. Have you seen this where somebody sneezes? It's an animation of the little particles, the droplets going everywhere. The droplets migrate all over the store. And if you look at that, you can get really paranoid. But wait a sec. Who's gotten sick? Where's the outbreak? Not one. I haven't heard one story in these United States of America, the biggest, most powerful nation on earth. Not the biggest in population, but near it. The most vibrant economy. And we've shut it down so people can implement little plans they've had in the locked drawer at the top of the desk to be able to con us and hold us over a long period of time to make sure we don't get riled up and start disobeying. And that's what this game is right now with month by month. Oh, no, you can't do this now. You can do that now. Totally irrational. And we fall for it, as Mark says. Why do we fall for it? Why are we so gullible? We're scared. They make us scared. That's what corrupt leaders have done through all of history. 860-522-WTIC, Tom in Enfield. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Todd. How are you today?
That's the one question. You can ask me any question. That's the one I don't want to answer. Because who cares how I am?
I know. But anyways, first time call. So I just wanted to share that I've been going to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
No exceptions, Saturdays included. And I work.
What kind of environment are you working in?
I work in aerospace.
So in an industrial situation?
Manufacturing.
Okay.
Okay. So with that being said, I'm on the floor all day with 100 plus people. And everybody's pretty much doing social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
People are wearing masks. People are being cooperative. And for our company, we've had some employees that have been in contact with other people outside of the company that have had COVID, and they've isolated themselves for 14 days.
Okay.
We get temperature checks every day. There's a nurse there. She asks you a bunch of questions every day you walk into work. People that don't feel well don't come to work.
All right. So we're running out of time, so bring this around to a point for us so everybody gets it.
Well, I think the point is we need to get the economy back on track.
And you're saying you guys have figured out that even in a situation where you're all in a plant together, 100 people, that you can make it work if you follow the protocols. Is that what you're saying?
300 out of 600 there, and we make it work. So I don't understand why other businesses can't make it work.
Well, thank you for that, Tom.
We have PPE. We have all the all the protocols that everybody else has.
Yeah, we got it. Okay, I've got to hold you right there. Thank you so much for being a first-time caller. Today, on this Saturday, we will mark the date. Tom from Enfield called for the first time. It's news time. We'll continue coming up on WTIC. Oh boy, I wish there was more of that kind of spirit in the people. It seems like it's been pounded out of the people. Where is that bristling sense of indignance over having our rights violated, having our governments plundered, and being lied to every day? Because that's what politicians do. They lie to us every day. Very rare, the honest one. If you come up with one, let us know. 860-522-9842. Don't forget about the rant line number. You can use it for the rest of the weekend. I'm only here till 4 o'clock today. But the rest of the weekend, you've got the rant line, 860-751-4698. You can just lay something on us whenever you want. Let's go live, though, to Dave in Brantford. Hi, Dave.
Yo, Todd. Greetings. Gardenside planting tomatoes in Brantford. It's a nice afternoon. I'm taking a break with you.
Okay, are these red tomatoes or are they
yellow
tomatoes?
Yellow ones, cherry, orange ones, all different kinds. Maybe at least a dozen different kinds, 60 altogether. We do a lot of them. I want to
tell
you on a 51-year-old joke from the Smothers Brothers show, 1969. Men
were coming
back
from
Vietnam with treatment-resistant VD. And the health guidance was, always wear a condom. So the ever-smirking Tommy Smothers comes out on stage with his brother Dick Smothers and says, we are told, always wear a condom. So the smirking Thomas says, I'm wearing one right now. And nothing reminds me so much of that as the requirement to wear a mask lest you be socially shamed for being such an idiot.
Because...
The other thing I might want to point out, I watched the Lamont's news conference yesterday, and the Reverend Steele from a church in New Haven in the faith community mentioned there's another virus that's plaguing the faith community, and that's racism 45. Mm. And so it's a bit of a dog whistle, maybe too clever by half, 45 being President Trump, because he's the 45th president. Obviously, the kneeling on the neck incident is not remotely the president's fault. And yet there's a whole community that's going to tie it in a straight line for 400 years from slavery to Trump that knelt on that poor fellow's neck.
David, I'm so glad you mentioned this because they're mentioning Trump all the time. Like somehow it's the environment he creates in the country that led to that incident happening, and I guess that begs the question of what caused all the other incidents to take place throughout the span of history that you refer to.
Hey, man, anti-jackbooted government people like myself have always been. It's not a matter of racism. It's a matter of the excesses of out-of-control government, something you cover all the time, and that's where I touch down.
Thank you, Dave. Good to talk with you. 860-522-9842. That is what it's all about right there from Dave in Brantford. That's what it's all about. Everything is lied about. Every issue is kidnapped. And they do this in the subtlest of ways, the smallest of ways. They'll just slip it into a conversation. They'll have a list of real or not so real causes for what's going on in the country right now, and they slip it in that's Donald Trump's fault. Now, Donald Trump is a unique creature. I don't deny that. But he just does what politicians do. His big difference is he does it more brazenly. I think he scares them so badly because he's so much like them. He is the id. He is that pent-up energy, that hidden deep burning fire, the blazing fire of of lust and angst and aggression that we all hold inside of us and express in different amounts. And Donald Trump's up there near the top of the list, I suppose, of the amount of it that flows out of him. But that makes him more honest, more open, more clear, more easy to understand. The lying of the people who are more cultivated, whose id burns less strongly, so they're able to curb it and make it less visible. They're the ones you've got to watch out for, it seems to me. And that would include the people who run urban America, where they need to be told, apparently, that Black Lives Matter. They don't need the Black Lives Matter. People don't need to run around the suburbs telling folks in the suburbs that Black Lives Matter. No, it's their Democrats who need to be told. That's where they put up the banners, hold the protests, hold the marches, the candlelight vigils. It is in cities controlled for, in some cases, generations by the Democratic Party. Complete control. Our urban policy, completely controlled by the Democrats. The decision not to treat the underlying problems in urban America, which aren't related to racism, it doesn't seem to me, but are related to lack of economic opportunity, bad schools, bad policing, bad economic opportunity, lack of capital for businesses, neglect, chronic neglect. They don't treat any of that. What they do is give people money and a song and dance about how much they love them. But they never fix the problems. And the Black community has to wake up, I suppose, and urban America in general has to wake up at some point and say, we deserve better. We're going to demand better. But as long as you're, as I said with Scott X yesterday, the head of the NAACP, if you aren't willing to stand up and withdraw your vote to the people who hold the key to the cell that they keep you in, then you're just going to keep getting locked up. And by the way, the same mentality seems to be on display with regard to COVID. All right, there's a virus. Let's respond to it the way we always do, rationally making our own personal decisions. Why are people so complacent, so willing to be told how to behave? 860-522-9842.
Thank you for having common sense and trying to spread that disease. It's much appreciated. You have a great voice and speak the truth. Love your show. Thank you.
Now, that's one of the more brief rant line calls that has come in thus far. The rant line, 751-4698, if you want to use that over the weekend. And the idea of it is just a quick, easy place to leave a comment where you're not under the pressures that you might be under between 3 and 6 during the week. And you're unable to call live or you're not interested in calling live. But we're getting different people who are calling in. I think that's cool. David in Hebron. Hello, David.
Yes. Hello. How you doing?
Thanks for the call, sir.
Oh, you're very welcome. First time.
Yeah, I like it.
So I'm pretty new to the show. Just been listening, and I agree with a lot of points that you're making on the air.
Wait, hang on a sec. Before you respond to me, just tell me how that newness came to be. How did you? Are you a TIC listener but don't listen in the afternoon, but you've been able to catch me on Saturday or what?
Well, it just happens that I've been driving at different hours, so I usually only listen to the radio when I'm in the car. So that's kind of how it happens.
But have you been listening to TIC otherwise, like mornings?
Yeah, whenever,
do you listen to the mornings?
I try to listen whenever I can. You know, like I said, I work out in the field. I'm a construction guy, so it's not a lot that I can sit and listen to the radio. But whenever we're on the way to a job or anything like that, I usually tune in.
Well, thank you. It means a lot to us to get new callers. It's fun to have new voices.
Well, it's very excellent points that you're making on the air, and I appreciate you letting people rant and share a lot of the similar views that everybody else seems to call in have.
Okay. And do you have a specific response to something you heard just now?
Well, I think that a lot of people are calling in, and we're talking a lot about the governors and, you know, the fact that the state is kind of overstepping their bounds on a lot of things, but I don't think enough is being said about the media and the way that they spin the narrative and hit people at their emotional core, which happens to be race, unfortunately, and cherry pick incidents to get people fired up. And it almost feels engineered at this point. I mean, the COVID is dying down and, you know, they're terrified, obviously, of what news could dominate headlines if they don't have anything else to dominate headlines. And here we are with people vandalizing, destroying other people's property in the name of justice. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does make sense, I think, from this point of view, which is if you are living in an oppressed environment. So, for example, Minneapolis is this weird city. It's a progressive city where they are filled with love and compassion for poor people. And it's one of the biggest disparities, apparently, between how the whites live in the city of Minneapolis and the way minorities live. And that grates on people. So if you're living in that kind of environment where you feel that there's structural racism going on, where there's and I believe in structural racism because I see the Democrats owning and operating that structural racism. So I think it's important to bring it to the fore. And that would be in the form of bad education in the cities. Worst schools are in the cities. And they do all this nonsense supposedly to fix the schools, like make up reasons or phony ways to fix them. Like, oh, you need diversity in the classroom in order to educate. Okay, so then we spend generations and billions of dollars, trillions maybe, trying to figure out a way to get white people to go to the schools where there's the worst education and it's all poor people. And they're trying to get white people from the suburbs to go to, how is that going to work? But they say, oh, we're fighting for better schools and we're fighting for against racism. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree with you 100%. And I think that one of the big things with that also comes the drilling in of the message. And it's almost like programming. Like, I mean, it is called programming, and it's almost like programming.
Yeah.
if you keep telling somebody something over and over again,
yeah,
they start to accept it and start to develop emotions about it. And this carries over, unfortunately, and spills out in negative ways. You know, I just made a point the other day on Twitter. I said, if a story about saving a life or helping others dominated the headlines every single day, 24 hours a day, such as COVID, such as this police officer that clearly was in the wrong, and everybody agrees with that, would people go out every day trying to help people and gather in groups to go save lives instead of hurting lives? And it just feels like when there's a negative message that gets repeated and drilled and just implemented into people's brains, it stirs up that one emotion that people just can't seem to control because it does hit at the core. And I understand that.
Yeah.
I do. But I just don't think that the media...
No, but you're making a really important point about the media, because it's fine that we have some media that's conservative and others that's radical and anti-American, like CNN and MSNBC on that side. It's fine to have all those niches represented. But for the most part, across newspapers, liberal, TV networks, liberal, what you get at the end of the day is a uniform anti-Trump, anti-American message, anti-capitalism message. They love Bernie Sanders, who's anti-American at his very core. He can't even join the Democratic Party. It's too conservative for him in its current radical state.
I agree with you 100%. And then doesn't it bother you that every single time he turns and throws in with the same people that he has complete opposite views of after campaigning completely opposite of them? Throughout every campaign, last time he was there in 2016, and this time also, he campaigns on one.
Well, I don't know about opposite. He's a little more radical. Are you talking from the Democrats?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I think in 16, and then again this past year, he basically campaigns on the fact that, you know, Joe Biden's wrong, capitalism's wrong, everything that he stands for is wrong, and then at the end of the day, he says, "Oh well, I'm just going to back."
Yeah,
Joe
I
Biden.
Support them. Yeah, well, I see what you're saying. All right, David, thank you so much for the call. I've got to run. But it's great to hear from you. I hope you will listen more and be a regular caller, because it's great to hear from you. And I don't think he's that different from those guys. Those guys pretend to be more different from him, And they also need to differentiate themselves. So a lot of it's phony. Anyway, give us a call, 860-522-9842. Quick break. Stay with us, WTIC. WTIC, you have tuned in to the radio station in the state of Connecticut for political conversation and eye-opening for awareness. Great call from Dave about the media. The media is outrageously destructive in the country right now. And, of course, they get upset when Donald Trump says they're the enemy of the people. But they're clearly the enemy of the people. Not that there aren't some people there trying to do good journalism. Just as, of course, there are some people in government trying to do good government. And there's lots of wonderful state workers and whatever who go into a wonderful job every day. It's not about the individual so much until they get to the high level and then they become the perpetrators of the scams. It's about the systems. And the trouble is, if you're a good person going into bad government, you become part of bad government. You become a propelling force in the expansion and pushing forward of bad government. I don't know how you escape that. If you join a company that is doing bad things or that is behaving maliciously, whatever that company might be, I don't know what it would be. I don't think many companies are actually malicious, but it's possible when organizations get big for all kinds of stuff to go wrong. And the stuff that goes wrong, who's going to stand up and fix it? Just like those cops in Minneapolis. You can see on the videotape, there's the cop murdering the suspect with his knee and looking utterly nonchalant about it. And I don't see any cop go over there and say, stop. We have to assume it's part of the culture of police that you don't interfere, which makes sense because say I'm the partner of the killer cop and I go over and say, you really should ease off on his neck because we're going to have a situation on our hands. And the cop says, no, leave me alone. And he finishes just like it works out, just like this situation worked out. And then they press charges. What do? They call the partner right in and say, what did you say to him when you walked over there? Or maybe they are able to pull it off of a video and they hear him. Well, then he's implicated his partner. I guess that's why they don't do what's right. Why cops would stand around. They fired four cops. And that seemed like the right thing to do. The killer and his co-conspirators. Although they didn't conspire, you could argue, or you could argue it is a conspiracy because they have these methodologies of a bad organization. They have a culture of badness. So if you're a good guy in that organization, you know, like you're a Serpico. What do? They orchestrate it so Serpico gets shot. Can't have him around. He puts them all at risk because he breaks the code. Just like gangsters, they've got a code. Nobody's allowed to break the code. That's how evil organizations work. And government seems to me, by the way, that's government, the police department. Seems to me that's an evil thing, that little piece of government at least. Do you agree with that? Any argument on that? Is that not evil? When we see these videos, it's not just about the specific act that's being committed. It's about the organization and the culture of the organization that makes it possible. Have you seen Democrats standing up saying enough is enough? Have you seen members of the Black Congressional Congress standing up and saying enough is enough? We will not tolerate this any longer. Have you seen the preachers, the Black spiritual leaders in cities across Connecticut or the country saying we will not tolerate the racism of the Democrats anymore? We will not tolerate the permanent oppression of our people by the Democratic Party anymore. They won't call them out because they're part of the scam. If you're living in urban America, you've got to understand this. The people who are claiming to be leaders, if they are leading at all, it's taking you down a very dangerous path. Mike, what time are we breaking? You need me to break now?
We got a minute.
Or another minute. Okay. Because I'm enjoying this conversation with myself. I have wonderful conversations with myself. I really enjoy. I wonder if anybody else does.
Enjoys you have anything you want to say, conversations, Mike? Or they have conversations
yes.
they enjoy with themselves?
No, I wonder if they have the same pleasure from... I doubt it. I can't imagine why they would.
I'm sure their pleasure doesn't reach the pleasure that you get, but it might be close.
It's an amazing situation how the psychology of humans, when we get into groups and group situations, people caring, sincere, ideological people, they get to a certain point in the growth of their power in an organization, and they give in to the organization as they become more powerful because the scam of everybody sticking together becomes critical. Stay with us. We've got another hour to go after news on WTIC. Hey, it is WTIC. We are so delighted to have you here. Yes, you can join in live. We would love to have you. Give a call right now, 860-522-9842. Just riffing on all the big news in the world. And, of course, there is plenty of it. Do you think this thing, this volcanic response, the eruption of response to the events in Minneapolis, do you think the violence continues to grow? Do you think there is a powder keg that has been lit that's going to continue to fire off fireworks? Or has this found its peak already, do you think? Because it has spread to a lot of different cities. And it's back to the idea of complacency. You wonder how much people can tolerate. And I talked about yesterday how... what a beautiful thing politics is. The politics is the thing we do instead of having riots. We have machinery in place to actually reconcile differences and to come to some sort of balanced judgment about when you come to a fork in the road, do you want to go to the right or do you want to go to the left? And we used to have wars over that. And more we have civil discourse and the mechanics of political decision-making. And that creates peace. That's what politics is for. Fewer people getting hurt. But now we're at a point where our politics has become so corrupt and so for the purpose of the politicians rather than for the purposes of the people. And this COVID thing is a perfect response. You can feel the frustration in the state. First of all, before Ned comes into office, you feel it. It's palpable. Why is it palpable? Because the people know they're getting the shaft on the way the government is being managed. They can see that the money, they have to pay the taxes, right? You have to pay the taxes. Average working folk have to pay more taxes every year. And that money doesn't go to operate a program. That's why I played that Malloy cut all the time. About the money doesn't ever make it down to the grassroots level. The money just is spent on the benefits for the state employee unions. Because what he was confessing was that Democrats have corrupted state government so that it's no longer responsive to the people. It's only responsive to their special interest groups. And that's what's going on in the cities. It has been going on for decades. They talk about how much they love them. How much you have to tear down old statues because they're offensive. And that may be. Maybe they are offensive and maybe they do need to come down. But that's not policy. That is tricking people into demonstrating sympathies that don't come out in policies with healthy results. Democrats operate policies that don't deliver for urban America because all of their policies don't deliver for anyone. And ultimately, they won't even deliver for the unions because what they've committed to is unpayable and it's destroying the state. And they walk around all proudly and impressed with themselves like they're actually good at something and they actually have legitimacy and they have zero legitimacy. And that's built up frustration in the state. It's built up frustration in the cities. Everybody is frustrated because politics no longer does what it's supposed to do. It no longer reconciles our differences. It no longer solves the problems in an equitable way so that we don't have to fight. And as a result, there is fighting going on. As a result of how Democrats have destroyed our politics, there is now violence replacing that failed politics. 860-522-9842. Jerry calling from Ashford. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, hi. Thanks for having me on. I just want to say it's like a powder keg right now, you know, out there in these major cities run by the Democrats. First of all, you got nobody's working. So, of course, they got extra time to go out and, you know, riot. I don't call it demonstrating. And they got nothing to lose right now, really.
Well, that's a really interesting... You made two very interesting points. But that last one, I really like that this is fine for them to riot because what do they care? They live in the dreamland created by the fantasies pushed by the Democrats. This is where Democrats have 100% control over policy. It's an urban America, and life is so bad, they feel they have nothing to lose. They can just blow it up. What do they care?
And it's also a shame with the stand down order. There's no law enforcement. I thought they were sending the National Guard in. Were they just spectators?
Well, they claim they've been overwhelmed and that they just can't handle the numbers. But how, you know, that sounds like Ned is running the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and he can't find National Guard troops just like he can't find masks.
I'm telling you. I think Trump should take over and fix this mess. I mean, the Democrats don't want to, you know, poke it, you know, because, you know, they'd lose the vote. God forbid.
Well, I don't know if Trump has any efficacy at this point. You know, he's effective as a rebellious measure against a corrupt power structure. And voting for Trump and electing him was, I think, a really strong message to the power structure that you guys had better start taking care of business. You guys had better start running the society for us, not just for yourselves. It can't all be lots of shiny stuff for the elites.
Yeah, we're not all beautiful people, you know.
Well, we're not. We deserve, with the amount of taxes we pay, it's enough money that we are beautiful people, really, Jerry. The trouble is they've stolen all the money, and they're the ones standing around reveling in the beauty of their own reflections in the swimming pool. So
yeah,
anything else
right
you wanted
now,
to add?
Yeah, right now they're really with this slow opening, you know. They're just dragging it on, and just people that are hanging on by a thread in the restaurant industry, I don't see it coming around for them. I just really don't, you know.
It's really perplexing. You know, I try to problem solve this, Jerry, and I try to cut the governor a lot of slack. And I say, okay, let's just assume for the sake of argument, he's completely sincere, that he thinks COVID is this dangerous, that we need to be treated in this manner, and that it needs to take months to allow a customer who's sitting outside to be able to walk inside and sit down at a table there. Now, in my mind, that makes no sense. But I try to figure out a way he's looking at it, and he's got consultants telling him, oh, you have to do it this way because if a second wave comes, you want to make sure you're not too far along. But I can't do the math on it to make any sense unless I'm adding in that the end of the sentence is for your reelection. for your party's success, for you not to take the blame. That none of this stuff makes sense if not viewed through the political lens of the perpetrator of the policy, such as Jolly Ned. Jolly Ned looks at it and says, okay, I don't want to be the guy who wasn't strict enough. And that's what this is all designed for, to make sure Cuomo and Ned and Charlie Baker in Massachusetts and Gina Raimondo in Rhode Island, that they're not the dumb governor who did it the worst, who opened too fast, and the rampage came back, and they got destroyed and humiliated. And that's what I think is guiding all this.
Go ahead. But also the people are the ones that are supposed to be running things, you know, not the government overseeing and, you know, the dictatorship going on right now, but if the people don't object
to the dictatorship, then what does the dictator care?
Well, the whole thing is, I see people riding around in their cars alone with a mask on. I'm like, who are you going to infect, yourself? The windows are up, you know? So the misinformation and the trampling of our rights is just, it's horrible right now, you know, with the churches and everything. I just don't see it. There's not enough people speaking up. They're just like, yes.
Well, you're right. Please. You're right. No, absolutely. People should be irate and out of patience, Jerry. Thank you for the call, sir. Great to talk with you. Now, Jerry's got it right. But if the people don't care, ultimately, that's all that matters. And in not just in our society, which is built on principles of interactive messaging going back and forth between power and the people. But I've mentioned once before, I toured a country. I've been to the Middle East a couple of times. I've been to Saudi Arabia twice. I've been to a country called Oman. And in this little country, Oman, little broken down third world delightful country, it's just a wonderful place. People are warm and happy. I call it the curse of opportunity, American life, because there's happiness to be found in having a small scope of possibilities in your life. And in this country, there's so little economic activity and so little opportunity that they walk at a slower pace. They take their time. It's the only place I've ever seen water be distributed along open trenches. You know, not really pipes, but more like cinder blocks, framing a little conduit through which water can flow. And this trickle of water, this little brook, it's hardly even a brook, this little flow of water on the roadside, goes to a certain village for a couple of hours, and then somebody turns a handle at a prescribed time, and it shifts to the other village because there isn't enough water for everybody. That's Oman. And the reason I bring it up is because they have a king, effectively. He's called the Sultan, S-U-L-T-A-N, like Sultan. They call him the Sultan. And the Sultan is the king of the country. And he took over from his father, who was oppressive, so he ran a coup against his father. So he understands exactly, having been on the coup side of things, how vulnerable it is to be a leader who does not accurately represent the will of the people. So the Sultan tours the country once a year, going from village to village and sitting down and meeting with citizens. And I thought, what an amazing thing this is. What an impressive thing this is. It's representative government being done by a dictator. And the message is clear. All leaders need the support of their people if they want to be successful over the long term. If they don't want to be hated, if they want to be able to maintain power without rebellion, either they do it through sheer brutality. But that doesn't, remember Saddam. Saddam had to have doubles. Remember, Saddam had body doubles who would pose as being him with his guards around him and everything. There would be, when Saddam would go to a village and look for a place to spend the night, he would just go to a house and throw everybody out of the house and they'd take it over. But still, that made him a sitting duck for a coup, didn't it? So he would have body doubles who would play him and with a different team of guards, and they'd go stay somewhere else. So if somebody was going to try to attack, well, they were playing the odds about whether not just would they have a successful attack, but would they actually be killing Saddam if they succeeded? So power is complicated, is all I'm saying. You need popular support. And that's why in our society, as bad a job as they're doing and all the money they're stealing and all the destruction they're doing to what was a beautiful state like in Connecticut, they have to do a lot of lying to make it, to make people fall for it in large enough numbers, or they have to be paying enough money with tax dollars to special interest groups to be able to rig elections. And that's what the Democrats do. They rig elections through all kinds of means we've discussed. 860-522-9842. We'll pause briefly, continue the conversation on WTIC. Hang on a sec. Just have to put my earbuds in. I like earbuds better than headphones. I don't like that big clunky thing on my head squeezing my head anymore. I don't know. I wore those for years. I don't know what happened. Just can't stand them anymore. I like earbuds, but they take a long time to put in.
Your head, I have these. Got too big.
I doubt it. The the ones I use on the air are Bose earbuds, not the expensive ones, but the sport ones that are reasonably enough priced that I don't feel appalled by when I look at the price. But the each ear has its own contoured thing. See, they're not interchangeable. So when you're rushing to get back on the air and talk to Peter in Farmington, you have to make sure you're shoving the right thing in each ear. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Todd. Happy Saturday. Todd, one area I think Jolly Ned was totally wrong on people coming back to work, unlike his not going back to work, which I don't agree with. My wife's a hygienist. The states of Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and Maine did not go back phase one. But Jolly Ned was steadfast. I mean, to the point where, yep, they're going to come back to work. Even though, according to his scientific theory, it is the single most dangerous position from the so-called scientific experts because of aerosols, blood pathogens, and live airborne particles that are live for 14 minutes. So I did a little research.
Wait, hold on a second, Peter. All this you just said was about dentists. Is that what you're
dental
saying?
Dental hygienist, a non-emergency position. So how could he be steadfast? I mean, to the point where he didn't even waffle. Have them come back on May 20th where something like...
But wait a sec. Hang on a sec. They were never shut down, were they?
They were never shut down. But my point is, that's a position. Three other states around us did shut down or didn't open yet. And yet, he was steadfast. Now, I did some research. I don't know if this is why, but the Dental Association was a Democratic Party contributor. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but this is my whole take. And I just wanted to bring that point up. But just think, if the Democrats win in the fall, I can guarantee you, hope it doesn't happen, but I'll guarantee you that if there was a second wave and they were in office, you wouldn't see any of this shutdown to the magnitude it is.
When there's a second wave, if there is one, is that what you're saying? It won't be to this magnitude because of November?
Let's say Biden. Let's just say Biden was in. I guarantee you, you would see a complete 180 on how they look at this.
Well, except that I think part of the reason they're dragging this out so long, they've got a number of reasons. One is, it allows them to use Ned being king as an opportunity to jam things through, and people being in a fear-based stupor. So no one pays any attention to anything now in terms of policy. So they're doing this in order that they can implement policy changes that they would not otherwise have the gall to do, like this mailing of ballots, of absentee ballots to everybody in the state for an August election when everybody will be back to work and having a gay old time. So that's, I think, a big reason they're trying to drag this out. I think another reason they're trying to drag it out is they want to leverage the federal government for bailouts. And if all these states reopen, what would the leverage be for the Democrats to demand $3 trillion, which is what they're looking for, to be able to bail out incompetent, malicious states like the state of Connecticut that have deliberately destroyed the state financially as part of an election rigging scheme? What would their argument be if they reopen and the economy isn't badly damaged? And then the other thing would be, let me just finish the list so everyone gets it. The third thing would be the elections in the fall, that this supports the status quo because you can't campaign. Nobody is willing to even express political differences because the thing that needs to be expressed is, hey, you need to open up the state. And if the legislature had any caldeones, they'd be protesting, demanding that the governor reopen the state and end the state of emergency because there's no argument for it. But any incumbent is made safer by this process of keeping things shut down. And I think that's part of the reason, because the Democrats have big control right now. So if they can preserve the status quo by stopping campaigning, this whole COVID thing is the biggest election rigging scheme ever. Okay, Peter, go ahead.
No, I you've got a valid point. It is disruptive. They make it seem like it's safety, but to me, it's not safety. I can see through it. They want to control themselves. They want bailouts. I'm just hoping that Connecticut doesn't get anything. Even though I live here, I'm hoping that, there's a due process, let's say, where...
If there is to be any hope for the future of Connecticut, there can't be federal government money coming down the pike. And for the country, by the way. Because what that money would do is simply dismantle America as we know it and end the idea of states once and for all.
All we can hope for is... another thing, too, is that if this drags out a little longer, I mean, let's say they go back to work sooner where they should go, you're going to see the third quarter results favor Trump and the economy get back. And I think they're deadly afraid of what recently happened in the stock market despite this, looking into the future. And I think that
hot economy would scare the hell out of them. I think you're right, Peter. Thank you so much for the call. 860-522-9842. Everything. Don't sit there and say, how can you think this is about politics? That is the only thing that exists for them is politics. How do they keep the power they have or get more? 860-522-9842. We're going to play that Dan Malloy cut after news on WTIC. Yeah, it's WTIC. So I mentioned the Dan Malloy cut, which we used to play all the time. And I was shocked when I heard it. It was part of a sit-down that the Hartford Courant, their editorial board, that is the people who write the opinion pieces, and some key editors and maybe political reporters or something like that at newspapers, meet and decide what the editorials are going to be. And as part of this process of understanding what's going on in the state, they'll have sit-downs with the governor or candidates for office or what have you. And they had a session with the governor, and I was listening to it. They posted it as a podcast, and I was listening to it one day, and I couldn't believe it. When Malloy went on this little rant, he was being peppered with questions, as I recall, about why certain things weren't being done and why aren't you spending money on this. And you had the big tax increase. You know, you've got a couple $1 billion in tax increases that you've passed. What's happening to the money? And this was what Dan Malloy had to say in response.
If you look at what we are spending, every cent of additional revenue that has come in since 2011 goes to pay pensions, teachers, and state workers, and other post-employment benefits. Every single cent and more.
And I've reveled in that sound cut because there it is. There it is, the confession of how corrupt government works and how it impacts you. Now, you have to extrapolate that out a little bit. But imagine that, and now we've got Ned's campaign for tolls and all the tax increases Ned passed during his first year. Remember, Ned came into office. You would think in your first year, the last thing you would want to do is stick it to the people. But that's what Ned did immediately. Couldn't wait. First thing out of the box, 19 minutes into holding office, he flip-flops on his no tolls on cars promise. And suddenly, oh, I was just too dumb running for office. I had no idea how bad our fiscal situation is. It's right there for everybody to see. But somehow Ned didn't know. Well, I can't say I don't believe him at all, because I don't know if Ned has any interest in such things. But it's still not a claim that carries any weight, because it's his job to know those things. All right, so he gets into office. First thing he does, he flip-flops on the toll promise and then spends the next 13 months campaigning to pass tolls and passing other tax increases like the plastic bag tax. And that was his first year in office. Why would anybody do that? Except that they look at the numbers and they say it's such a desperate situation. We have so destroyed the finances of the state that we have no choice. If we're going to be able to continue to maintain even spending, and that even spending means an increase each year to make up for inflation and built-in structural pay hikes, like the $335 million raise the unions all get in July. Those are structural things that have to be covered, right? So you can't just have the same amount as last year unless you cut spending. Well, if you cut spending, what you're saying to groups of voters, well, don't vote for me anymore. I'm no longer paying you for your vote. I'm withdrawing my financial support. I'm no longer going to divert funds from working people to support your whatever it is. All money spent by the government is spent in order to rig elections. That's what they do it for. The reason there are state worker unions is to rig elections in order that they can be overpaid and overbenefited to gain loyalty. That's why public sector unions were created. Everybody knew they weren't necessary and that they were dangerous, but they were created to rig elections. And you can see that obviously described, play that cut once again from Dan Malloy, describing why, well, the fact that it doesn't matter how much you raise taxes, you can't deliver anything new or better to the people who worked to give you the money for the new taxes. No tax increase, no matter what they say about what it's for. Oh, we'll build you beautiful infrastructure if only we have tolls. No. The purpose of the money is to give it to the special interest voting bloc in order to rig elections. This is what Malloy is explaining to you. Go ahead, Mike.
If you look at what we are spending, every cent of additional revenue that has come in since 2011 goes to pay pensions, teachers, and state workers, and other post-employment benefits. Every single cent and more.
All right. Dan Malloy was the big tax hiker. And what he's telling you is none of that money makes it down to the street level where you live. Doesn't help make the street safer in Hartford. Doesn't help for the drug addicts in New Haven. The money never makes it anywhere but into the bankrupt funds that are there to finance the unpayable commitments made to special interest voters bribed by the Democrats to always vote for them, which, by the way, if you doubt that, you will notice that those blocks support with great loyalty the Democrats. And that's how it's possible in a year like a year and a half ago, when everything in the state pointed to Republicans continuing their takeover of the General Assembly and taking back the governor's office, that still it was possible, with a little help from Trump, for Republicans to lose. That's the tragedy of politics in America today. And by the way, it's the same reason, same cause and effect, for why there are riots and why there are police murders of citizens on their streets. All right, let's get back to the rant line. We haven't played a rant in a minute, in a few minutes, in lots of minutes, actually. The rant line number, 860-751-4698. This is our new number where you can call and leave us a message for something you want to say on the air or not. If you don't want it on the air and you just want to tell me something, you can. But the idea is to get to create a 24/7 avenue through which you can make an on-air comment. And just whenever you feel like, whatever's on your mind.
Frank from Windsor. I am a regular listener of your show, and unfortunately, I catch every one of Ned's briefings, which takes away from your show, and I am wondering when this man is going to talk about something besides coronavirus. There's plenty of topics in this state that have to be addressed. I just wonder.
All right, so Frank's got a really good observation there. Why is it that coronavirus is so celebrated by those in power? Why are they so excited by it? And there's one of the answers. The state of Connecticut is bankrupt. Before COVID. Ned's looking at it and he says, it's so bankrupt. When I walk into office after the couple of $1 billion in tax hikes or whatever it was, I don't even remember how much Malloy raised taxes. Extraordinary amounts. No improvement of quality of life in the state. No new thing delivered. You just heard Dan Malloy explain why none of that money ever made it to you. And Ned walks into office and he says, after those huge tax hikes from Dan Malloy, I'm walking into a state in such financial trouble, I am going to spend the first year and all of the goodwill that accrues to me as a new governor, I'm going to spend it all. All that political capital, I will invest it all in trying to rape the people of this state for more of their hard-earned money when it's already the highest tax state in the country. Because I have no choice. Because I will never cut spending. I'm a Democrat. Democrats don't ever cut a budget. You create it. It grows in perpetuity. And that growth in perpetuity gets you perpetual votes. Because it keeps expanding that agency. Special interest groups are invented to demand that spending expand every year. Fraudulent communist legislators run around trying to figure out new people they can protect with that special program. It's all a big election rigging scheme, everything they do. Have I made that clear? 860-522-9842.
Hi, Todd. This is my rant. I understand the state beaches are open.
Listen to this. This one's great.
Hi, Todd. This is my rant. I understand the state beaches are open without public restrooms. I was wondering if the state will issue toilet paper and buckets when you go to the beach, and will they designate a specific defecation zone on the beach? Thanks.
Did you hear that? What a brilliant call. He's saying at the beaches are open on the ocean. I don't know about the lakes, if the lakes have opened up, but the ocean beaches are open, but he says that restrooms aren't. And he's wondering if they're giving out buckets and toilet paper and defining certain areas of the beach as defecation zones. Oh, that's really good. I like it.
Hey, Todd. Hey, look, I'm a retired police officer, and I just want to say that what happened in Minneapolis was unacceptable, 100%. not only the officer that did what he did, but the three that stood there and watched. However, I will say this, Mark, and you got a caller that mentioned this. If you look at the FBI Uniform Crime Report that's put out by the Department of Justice, he is absolutely 100% correct that more whites are killed by police officers on an annual basis than minorities or blacks. So that is 100% correct. I'm not saying that justifies anything that was done. I just want to make that clear. But you seem to downplay or poo-poo what he said, and he's 100% correct that more...
Well, yes, he was factually correct, but the reason I poo-poo it is, of what meaning is it? Blacks represent 12 or 13% of the population of the United States of America. What difference does it make if more in numbers white people are killed by police officers? And by the way, it's not a comparison across the nation. We're talking about urban America, where minorities are warehoused by Democrats so that they can get them to the polls on Election Day. They store their voters in the worst places in the country, the toughest places to live, the worst neighborhoods, and they police them harshly, by all accounts. And there's a tough relationship between the people and the police in a lot of the places we've seen. So how is that mitigated by how many white people are also killed by cops? 860-522-9842. Quick break. We'll continue on WTIC. WTIC. 860-522-9842. Hopefully you've written down the rant line number so you can use it whenever you want to leave us a recorded message to play on air. 860-751-4698. Tom calling from Burlington. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, you were referencing the rant line caller that mentioned the white death rate from police officers.
Yes.
Versus the black death rate. And then you went on to bolster your argument to that using federal government statistic of blacks are 13% of the population. Well, I'll give you another statistic from those same stats. Blacks are 13% of the population, and African Americans are responsible for over 50% of the violent crime in this country. And those are from the same statistics that you used.
Okay, and what's the importance of that statistic that you're sharing with us? How do you extrapolate that into meaning in this discussion?
Well, you had you had somebody that called your line that mentioned that more whites are killed by blacks, or more whites are killed by police officers than black people. And then you use the argument that black people are only 13% of the population. So now answer to me why 13% of the population is responsible for over 50% of the violent crime in this country.
I will tell you, but first you tell me why you think.
Well, I'm sure there's many reasons. I think just saying that it's a problem of structural racism and all this is nonsense. But I'd like to get your take.
Well, my answer is the same. There's a lot of different reasons. But it doesn't have to do with that blacks are inherently more violent or biologically more violent. Their DNA doesn't make them more violent, I don't think. I don't think they're dumber than us. I think they are equal. That there is no difference between races on a on a scientific level that is worthy of mention with regard to the way they succeed or fail in our society. Do you agree with that?
Sure. So is
okay. So if we're in agreement, hang on. So that all that leaves us now. All that leaves us is in.
Do all the ills of the African American community, do they fall upon white people as the cause?
Not because anyone is white would they be to blame for that. It is not a racial issue. They live in the worst neighborhoods, which are violent, where opportunity is short, where education, which is the only way we know of to get ahead in the world and improve yourself, is the worst. Isn't that an important thing? Tom hung up because I guess since we're getting into rational conversation, it was a little too much for him to cope with. But all I'm saying is if you have you could take any group of people and put them in the ghetto and they will commit more of the crimes. That's how it works. If you live in crime zones, in zones where drug dealing and criminal behavior and gangs are the way you advance, then whatever the opportunity is for whatever the group is who gets put in there, that's what they're going to pursue, legal or not. And there aren't legal. So we've had the compassion crowd for generations now, diverting huge amounts of money and resources and ideas into how to turn the black community around. Not just, I shouldn't call it that, urban America around. There are huge infrastructure, huge money invested. And it's not delivered the results. So if we agree, which Tom agrees, that it's not because of any inherent difference between the races, it is then a result of the environment. By necessity. And the Democrats own and operate that environment and have stolen trillions of dollars from the rest of us so they can make it better. But they haven't made it better. Therefore, let's stop doing the same thing over and over again. You know that expression about insanity. You don't expect anything different from doing the same thing over and over again. So let's stop doing the same thing over and over again. Let's fix urban America. And it's not because every kid needs to be taught by somebody who looks like him. And it's not because you can't have good education if you don't have white people in the classroom. And it's not because union teachers somehow do a better job. In fact, we will not fix the problem in urban America or urban schools until we get rid of the union so we can start to innovate that environment and give them great education. But everybody in the power structure is lined up in denying any of the things I'm saying, which are the obvious necessities of fixing the cities. They will not fix the cities because right now the cities vote for them, and that's all they care about. That's the bottom line. That's it for us today. Don't forget, use the rant line, 860-751-4698. You've got all weekend to just put down any comment there you want to. News time. Stay with us on WTIC.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.